Okay. First, my name is Joey Klein, and the date is February the 23rd, 2008, and we're doing the interview here at Jerusalem Baptist Church on Norfolk Avenue in Roanoke. Could you please state your full name?
Alfonso McKinley Easley.
Okay. And like I said, if you want to talk about anything in particular, you can, or I can just start asking you some questions.
Well, go ahead and ask me some questions, maybe.
Okay.
And we'll go from there.
I had already asked you this before, but just for the interview, when and where were you born?
Born right here in Southwest in 1930, down on Old North Avenue.
Okay.
In Old Stone Row.
Okay, so you've lived in Roanoke your entire life.
Mm-hmm.
And again, what streets and neighborhoods did you live in?
Lived on North Avenue, 14th Street, Gilmer Avenue, Gandy Drive, and where I'm living in my present address place now is on Orange Avenue. Been living there for 40 years.
Okay. Tell me a little bit about your parents and any brothers and sisters, if you have any.
Got one brother, two sisters, all dead. My parents, my daddy used to work for the old Norfolk Western, Norfolk Southern. He worked for the WPA back there doing when Roosevelt came in get things going after Hoover time. And I worked for the Norfolk Western, the Norfolk Southern. I went there in 51 and retired in 93. And I've been right here in Roanoke all my life. My mama died back when I was a youngster. My grandma died when I was a youngster. My daddy died in 86. Out of that.
Okay. Did you have other extended family that lived in Roanoke?
My sister lived here, but my oldest sister, she lived in Richmond, and my youngest brother, he lived in Massachusetts. And that's where he stayed up there till he died up there. And, he left here in about 1950s, about 50, so.
Okay. And could you describe the house that you lived in when you were growing up and where it was at in Roanoke?
Well, the house that I lived in is still right there on 14th Street, one of them. The old stone row been tore down. I lived in the projects. They done changed it over, and I'm living in my present house right now. I've been there for 40 years.
Okay. Could you describe... what kind of activities you participated in when you were growing up, I guess, and sports and things that you might have played?
Played baseball, football was the most main sport we played back in those days, was baseball and football. In the later years, we started playing basketball.
Okay. I guess I'll ask you a few questions about... Your school life. What schools did you attend? And
I went to Harrison School and Addison.
Okay. Were you able to walk to school from where you lived?
I walked from Southwest to Old Addison, back and forth. The whole time I went to school.
Okay.
And walked to Harrison School. Started walking to Harrison School when I was about 8 years old. 7 or 8 years old, I walked to Harrison School.
Okay.
Back in those days, they didn't have no bus. They didn't have no snow days. Weather never did get too bad.
Mm-hmm. How long of a walk was it?
From Southwest to over there, I guess, Addison School would be about 5 miles or better going each way. Might be farther than that. You know where Old Addison over here on North Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
Down there across from the YMCA up on the hill there.
Right.
From 14th Street all the way. I guess it's about 5, 6, 7, 8 miles. You know, back in those days, you walked and you didn't pay it any attention.
Mm-hmm.
You laugh and joke going back and forth. So what you had to do, you had to do what you had to do.
Was it a big group of people that you walked with?
Or? Yeah, everybody from Southwest had to walk that went that walked, go back and forth.
Okay. And how much schooling did you complete?
I went to the ninth grade.
Okay. And did anyone else in your family attend college?
Oh, no. No, didn't nobody. Now, my kids did now, but I didn't. All my got two kids finished college. And all of them finished school. But I went to work back in 1943. I went to work.
Okay. I guess describe a little bit about your home life when you were little. Like what did you and your family do for entertainment? Like listen to the radio or?
Well, back in those days, most people didn't have no what you call a radio. You played outside, stayed outside, pitched horseshoes, went to the park. Wasn't no such thing as a TV back in those days. And played ball.
Mm-hmm. What park did you go to?
Used to be, well, most of the time we used to go to Washington Park. Then they had a such called Southwest Park up in where Hurt Park School is now.
Okay.
It used to be a big field where we used to hold most all our activities right there. Played ball all over Roanoke, hardball, softball, what have you. That's what we did back in those days. Before they named that park, they call it Hurt Park. But that park was named back in about 1950.
Okay.
Some girls were sitting there. Then there was some old barracks there that come from World War II. I believe they had tore them down or whatever. The reporter come up and wanted to know what was the name of that park up there. And the girls told him that was Hurt Park. And she said, is that the name you want to name this park? They said, yeah, Hurt Park. So now they got a school up there. They tell me they got some person got killed back out during World War II. They named the park after him. But that park was named before any hurt. Anybody up in Southwest knew any hurt. That's back out when I was a youngster, back out about 1950. I think they built that school in about 61, and that park was named Hurt before anybody even knew anything about a Hurt or whoever he is. I still don't know him. I just was reading something about it, and somebody was telling me about it. But those girls named that park back then about 1950. A reporter come from down at Ronald Times, and what was the name? A lot of people here in Southwest right now don't even know that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm probably about one or two just living that was there when that park was named.
Okay. Do you remember anything particular, like when your family got anything like a telephone or a refrigerator or anything special like that?
Well, like I said, my dad worked for the railroad back at doing World War II. He went to work about 1939. And you know, back in those days, if you worked for the North and Western, you just about get what you want. And far as refrigerators concerned, I think it was about 44, 45 when we first got our refrigerator. Before then, you used to have had ice boxes.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, as refrigerator started becoming in around about 45, in the 40s anyhow, when refrigerators would have started being popular. But before then, everybody had ice boxes. And I lived there on 14th Street, and there we went to Northwest. And there I got married, and I went to railroad in 51. before then. I used to work out at downtown at the bowling alley, down at old Jefferson Bowling Alley and Palace, and shucks, back during World War II. And I remember when Germans surrendered in 1945, I'm telling you, it was a big time downtown. I bet. Yeah, I was working at the bowling alley down there, and I'm telling you, people just going crazy down there. Some days.
Where was the bowling alley at downtown?
On Jefferson Street. Old Jefferson Bowling Alley.
Has the building been torn down?
Building been torn down. It had pins back in those days. You'd set them by hand.
Okay.
There was one there on, Luck Avenue. There used to be a bowling alley right there called Luckland. Set pins there, and then there was another bowling alley up on Old Camel Avenue called, Palace. And all those bowling alleys, you go from one bowling alley, I was setting pins back in those days. You made 5 cents a line.
Okay. Do you remember any of the chores that you had to do around the house or the neighborhood when you were growing up?
Oh, well, because you had to cut wood, firewood, bring in your coal, cut your grass, and you went out and with old push mower, you know, see if you can make a couple of dollars pushing old mower back in those days. But my biggest thing was downtown at the bowling alley. I went there in 1943.
Okay.
And when I'm out of school, I go down there after school and set pins up to 11 o'clock at night and back. And that was my biggest thing.
Okay. Do you recall any of family stories that were passed down from one generation to another, or any family stories or memories about times during the Civil War or before then?
No, people didn't talk about nothing like that back in those days.
Okay.
No. You did what you had to do and keep on rolling.
Did you or any of your brothers or children serve in the military?
Yeah, I served in there, and my brother served in there, went in there doing right after World War II. And that was it.
So did you go to...
No, I went across sea. Went to France, Italy, yeah, everything right there in the Mediterranean Sea there. I went all around through the house in the Navy. My brother, he was in the Army, paratroopers, back at right after World War II, because then you didn't have to have a college education to get killed. Where they get this stuff, you know, they're killing all the young kids now. You ain't got a college education or degree, you can't get killed in wars no more. Why is that? I don't know. That's the worst thing I think that ever could happen. Anybody could go on service back in those days.
Mm-hmm.
Now you got at least have a high school diploma. Why is you got to have a high school diploma to get killed? I don't know. But that's the way things are now. Things have changed. So, and then what they really. Just get right down too far as this. Whoa, this killing the cream of the crop. You want to know the truth. Mm. I know a lot of people don't like it, but I don't like it. Fighting a war, let's admit it, for nothing.
Right.
If we win, what do we get out of it? Could you tell me?
Maybe cheap gas.
You ain't going to get no gas. Russia got that gas. And Russia ain't giving it up. You're not gonna get it. They got that gas piped into Russia. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And you think about those things, and it's a hurting thing. But now World War II, you can see it. Man didn't mind dying back out there. I wouldn't send my dog over to die now.
True.
Might not like it, but it's the truth. I wouldn't send my dog over to die. For what? Ain't nobody never told me for what we fighting for. And I would love to know. But you know, you over there fighting and carrying on. And if you look at your own country, you can't even walk the own streets here after dark here in your own country. Now you gonna go over there and tell somebody else have what to do and kill our young men's over there like they killing them and spend the money that they're being spent over across the sea, the money that could be used right here to help your own people. Maybe something that I don't see. I wish somebody could you tell me what it is?
No, sir. I cannot.
You can't either, huh?
My neighborhood is plenty dangerous too.
Yes.
We could use the soldiers there, I think.
Use the people so we or being something happened here in this country, we scratched out. You ever thought about that?
Mm-hmm.
Somebody get some sense and come to the sense. Just between you and I, Bush, the worst president I ever been under. And I've been here ever since Hoover. I even put Hoover over against him.
Well, let's see. Get back to the questions. Do you remember any particular businesses that your family shopped in when you were growing up?
Oh, well, when we first started making, all they had back at then was your corner stores. There wasn't no such thing as these big stores here. Kroger's had a little store right here on Salem Avenue when it first got started. They had the bakery, Marita Bakery, Kroger's Bakery, Beaumont Bakery, Rainbow Bakery. Back there, you could go down there with 5 cents and bring more bread, 10 cents. You couldn't even bring all the bread back home. So, downtown, they had the farmers be there now. But as far as big markets concerned, big grocery stores, there wasn't no such, wasn't none back in those days. Kroger's was the first one. It got started here in Southwest, right here on Salem Avenue. Then they moved from Salem Avenue down to on Patterson Avenue. From Patterson Avenue, they moved to Northwest. Now they done branched out all everywhere. But that was back in the 30s and the 40s. Wasn't no such thing as these stores we got like we got right here now.
Mm-hmm.
Now downtown, you had Cress's, Woodwork, a few clothing stores there now, but nothing like you got now.
Where did you go for ice, for the ice box and stuff like that?
We used to have an ice man come through here.
Okay.
He'd come through here once a day, and you had your block ice. You had a little card where you put out, said 25, 50, 75, 100. You put it out which one you want, 25 or 50 pounds, and he would deliver the ice to you and put you in your refrigerator. The old ice house is still out there in Wasina now, where the old ice house used to be.
Okay.
And I guess where it come from back in those days, you know, they had them old meat cars, you know, where they used to ice them cars up, come out west with the meat and all, and that's where they made the ice out there, and they brought that ice back all through here, all over Roanoke selling them. Back in those days, everybody wasn't no such thing as a refrigerator. If you did, I don't remember seeing a refrigerator until about in the 40s and the 50s,
mm-hmm,
when refrigerators come. But before then, there was nothing. But I used to have the ice man deliver your ice to you.
What other kind of stuff did you have delivered, like milk and stuff, or mostly by
the way? Well, they had milkmen back in those days. Gosh Brother had a dairy here. Roanoke Dairy used to be over at Northwest, and the milkman used to come around. You had bottles back at then, and you put your bottle, I'll put your money in your bottle and went up by the barber. And they'll come and get your milk and put your milk on the porch, all your milk delivered. And back in those days, there was no such thing as a frozen food. Mm-hmm. Everything was fresh.
Right.
On Saturday night, you go downtown and at stores down there, either in the store, they would just about give you the food because everything was closed on Sunday. Because there wasn't no freezers back in those days.
Right.
They had them with ice, so they couldn't leave that food back. And as far as chicken's concerned, everything's on the feet. Fresh.
Right.
All your vegetables was fresh. You probably, back in those days, you get better meat out of the garbage can than you can get out of your supermarkets now. That's right.
I believe it.
Out of the garbage can, more better than you can because it was all fresh. The meat you eating now, you don't know how old it is. Mm-hmm. You don't know when it was killed. Chickens, turkeys, you don't know. But back in those days, all that stuff was fresh.
Right.
So, what can you say? If you look, you know, look at things the way it is then and the way it is now, but well, I don't know. Things got to change. The world got to go on. Okay. The old man said you either move on or get run over, one of the two. That way things was back out there.
Do you have any particular fond childhood memories or favorite holidays or family vacations that particularly stick out to you?
Well, back in those days, my daddy used to work on the railroad and used to get a pass and ride the train. And I'd go out to South Boston, back and forth, either Glade Spring. That was especially in the summertime. And I guess the biggest time was with World War II, when they was celebrating here in Roanoke. I'm telling you, people just went crazy. That was one of the terriblest days, good best days you ever had, as far as, you know, when the war was going on and mm-hmm. as far as a good feeling coming over you. But on 4th of July, we all just go to the park, put our baskets out, eat, have a big time, and those was the days back then.
Could you tell me a little bit about the kind of work that you did when you worked for the railroad?
Oh, I went there during steam time. As far as those steam engines concerned, I used to clean water, tin fine water. I used to have to grease them. Sand in the sandbox, coal in the coal hopper, put water on them. Used to come down here and had to cut coal on steam engines back those days. Back in those days, had so many people working on the railroad because Roosevelt back then, you know, if you made so much money, a lot of people don't know this, during the Depression, if you made so much money, you had to pay so much taxes. And that's why a lot of people went back to work. If you go in, either put people to work or they were taking money. A lot of folks don't know it. Old President Reagan had that law change. A lot of folks here in this country don't know it. That is why you see big companies can make all the money they want now without taxes. Back during those days, when Roosevelt broke the Depression, if you made so much money, if you didn't have people to work for, you had to pay taxes. You knew that? Did you know about?
Not.
You didn't?
Not 100%, no.
And they ran around here talking about Reagan? He about the rest of the thing we got in there now. for a working man concerned.
So you mean the companies, if they made a lot of money, they would hire more?
You had to pay taxes.
So they would hire more people.
They had to pay more people so they would not have to pay those taxes. Roosevelt did that to break the Depression.
Okay.
There's a lot of people here in this country right now don't even know what Reagan did to them. He had that law abolished. That is why you're seeing your business going overseas now. They can go over there and make all the money they want and bring it back in this country. You know that?
Well, No. Not necessarily. Yeah.
Well, a lot of people don't even, if it ain't something that comes out, you know, big or whatever. But that was the worst thing that ever happened to the working people in this country. Reagan. When he did away with that law that Roosevelt put on the book. Okay. And then people don't even mention it. That is why your business going overseas, they can make all the money they want now. Used to be a time the rich get richer and the poor getting poor. Those days are here now. You know that?
Mm-hmm. I'm not getting richer.
Well, you ain't going to get richer. Unless you got to have some type of business or whatever. You take let's say something about that dope. I'm on my time when people didn't know about dope. Back in 1947, 48, and 50, people in this damn South didn't know about no dope. That was up north. Mm-hmm. We didn't know about that mess. But as people's getting the mix and folks come in and out, they bought those drugs, yeah. And Sweden, ain't it? Where it's legal. They don't even have the trouble we have. If they legalized that mess in this country, you would have to close jailhouses up. Because then they grow dirt cheap. You can throw it out there on the ground, it'll grow. Those guys standing around here in these foreign countries making billions and billions of dollars off of us. They couldn't make a dime. Mm-hmm. At that moment when gambling was illegal, they would shoot you in the head, writing numbers. Now what is that? Mm-hmm. States are making billions and billions of dollars off of it.
Mm-hmm.
You understand me? And legal, without paying no attention.
True.
I could do that with them drugs. All these little boys standing around here, kids standing around here with the stuff in the pocket. Man, we empty the pocket and throw it away. You would close your jails. And what, 90% of your jails right now, what? Full enough of people for drugs.
Mm-hmm.
You had to close them up. Anytime you tell the people of this country something they can't do, what they going to do?
They're going to do it.
I remember back then doing... in the 30s when corn liquor was king ran here. Yeah. Police just run up and down the street, yeah. On running boards and old man, running after bootleggers and all, and shucks. And then put liquor stores on every corner now, what? You don't hear nothing about it. You legalize it and you kill it. Sooner or later, they're going to do that in this country. But you'd be surprised that the people are making the money off of that stuff. The big man, that is. Not no little people.
Mm-hmm.
You take drugs. If you want to know the true drugs here in this country, right here in this city, it's controlled by the big man. Doctors, lawyers, judges. You know, they should prove that. I used to go get slot machines way back there in the 50s. Go up West Virginia, you know, bring those slot machines in here and all. Right people, right time. And then you look at it and you think about those things, you know. It's something to think about it and you see what's going on. Something else.
It's awful.
All controlled by what? Money. I know it. You know it. And the people of this country know it. Money is the name of the game.
Mm-hmm.
And then, shucks. Let's go over there and some of the people's house and had any kind of corn liquor you want, anything you want. The right people, the right crowd, man.
Do you remember about any cultural events that came to town, or big concerts or circuses or anything?
Oh, yeah, down at hotel, not down at the Roanoke Auditorium. It used to have big name bands come through Roanoke all the time back in the time, back in the 40s and the 50s. And used to have the fairs out here at the fairground, was out there now, the armory out there now.
Over by where Victory Stadium was?
Yeah, what Victory Stadium now. Yeah, used to have fairs and all that out there. And I used to be a little boy, used to go out there. Had everything out there then, back in the 40s. That's before they put Victory Stadium there, and before they put the armory there. I used to call that the old fairground.
Okay.
And used to remember back at over there now, across from a hospital. It used to be a dump over there back in the 30s. When a little boy back in those days used to go over there.
Where the hospital is now?
Used no, to be a dump, or? No, right across from where Vic was staying, that across on the other side of Roanoke River there.
Okay.
That used to be a dump over there. Back in the 30s, I believe, in the 30s and the 40s, used to be a dump over there. Closed it up as for your love. But you want to know, just between you and I, the worst thing they ever did is when they closed that center railing up down in the northeast. You take the stuff they're burying in the ground now, sooner or later it's going to come back to haunt us. What the Roanoke need is a big incinerator. A lot of that stuff that can be burned, instead of carrying up and burning in these mountains. I won't be around to see it. But kids be around, your grandkids will be, all that stuff gonna come back on you. They talking about pollution in the sky and all. Big as the world is, ain't no end to it. You got to burn that stuff. This world where we are, we live in here. You just can't hold it and keep dumping it in the ocean. You ever thought about that?
A little bit. I don't know.
When it's gonna come to an end, you just can't keep on just. God done showed us about burning. He's burning these woods and stuff up for around here to show you something.
Mm-hmm.
Handwriting on the wall. And the people can't see it. You don't believe it, do you?
I don't know too much about it.
You will. You will. You'll know more about it because, you see, you got TVs and things to show you everything now.
That's true.
See, back then, when I was a little kid, all you knew from mouth to mouth. Then World War II, you started getting radios. That's when everybody sat there and listened to the radios. And after that, you got your TVs, but as far as news and all the things now, you kids now know more than the average older person knew back at in the, you know, before the TVs come out and the radios come out.
Mm-hmm.
Only thing, everything was in the neighborhood.
Just all word of mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember, I guess with Victory Stadium or any place going to big sporting events and what they might have been?
Well, I remember back at when the National Football League used to come down through here. The Dallas Cowboys used to come down that whole exhibition out there, old Victory Stadium. Hmm. And the biggest thing back in those days was VMI and VPI playing football.
Mm-hmm.
That was the biggest sporting event we had here in Roanoke back in there. 30s and the 40s and the 50s. But now they done moved away from here, and you don't see no games like that no more. But back then, that used to be the biggest game you had around here.
For VPI and VMI, were they pretty evenly matched?
Yeah,
back
it was
then?
Even matched back in those days. Okay. Yeah, that was the biggest sporting event here in Roanoke. And then when the Cowboys would come through here, and the people wouldn't patronize them, and so they We don't get no more exhibition games around here no more.
Do you remember any strong community leaders from when you were growing up? Or?
Well, the biggest thing you had back in those days for you was your was the preacher. School teachers.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like I said, you didn't have the things you got now. Whatever the preacher told you, or whatever the school teacher told you, and the people in the community, you listened to them.
Were there more big church? I mean, were there more little churches or less big churches back then?
Well, the biggest church was right here. This church right here was in Southwest.
Okay.
There was a few small churches, but most of them was big. You know, like this High Street, Maple Street. And those were the churches back during those days.
Do you who were your role models? Do you remember anybody that was a role model for you?
Well, everybody wanted to be like Joe Louis back in those days because he'd make the big money. Sugar Ray Robinson. that was the thing, you know. More like Joe Louis might well say was the biggest role model we had back that during those days. Well, everybody want to be just like Joe Louis. When Joe Louis fought, man, I'm telling you, everything was quiet back in them days.
What? When was that?
That's back in the 40s and the 50s.
And would people listen to it on the radio, I guess?
Yeah, the radio. And then too many people have a radio. You go to somebody's house and sit down and listen. Be about 50, 60 people sitting around one radio. And you better not make no noise if you had to go.
I bet.
You had to leave there. Yeah, I was doing in the latter part of the 40s and the 50s. Then after that, people started, like I said, doing, they started World War II. If you, a lot of folks want to know, World War II did more for this country than anything as far as bringing you out of the kinks and bringing money to the table. World War, I hate to say it, but it woke this country up for us making money. People began back there, clothing, you know, you, if you worked for the WPA, you were saying something. World War II, and people was money began to flow and to move around, it started this country to rolling. People want to know what the war did. World War II is a terrible thing that happened, but it did more to wake this country up than anything,
mm-hmm.
and it never looked back.
Talk about some ways that you've noticed that Roanoke has changed over the years, I guess, and that's probably sort of what you were talking about there too.
Well, like I said, World War II, when people started getting a little money where they can do things, and people could, you know, start to spend money. Everybody began to get a car. Then they integrated, and people began to mix together. And like I said, anybody never looked back.
When did you get your first car?
I got my first car in 52. Back at then, you didn't have to have no inspection. You didn't have to just get your state tag put on there. I think I paid $50 for my first car, and that was a 1938 Plymouth. And the old beer place used to be up here in Southwest. Bought it from over there. Back then, all your car dealerships was right here in downtown. That Chevrolet place, you had the Ford place, you had the beer place, Cadillacs was all right here now. We might well say it was then walking distance,
mm-hmm.
until the later years, then they began to branch out. But everything was right here, downtown. Downtown was the main stay. You'd have your parades, and that was it. Downtown was the thing.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't have no malls back in those days. And everybody in your neighborhood knew everybody. You went to work, come back home, back in those days, corn liquor was king. Get your big half a you could buy 3 half-gallons for $10 back in those days, and shucks, that's enough to carry you the whole through the whole weekend. Played cards and all, and played ball. They had ball, all, you know, old teams would come in here and play ball out here at Old Washington Park or out here at Victory Stadium or whatever. And
baseball and football?
Baseball. And, well, wasn't too much football back in those days. All the football played was played through the high schools.
Okay.
And VMI and VPI, they played the ball. But baseball was played just about by everybody. Most football was played mostly by the Sandlock teams.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Sandlock teams and stuff. No big thing. Just more like home cooking.
What kind of jobs were available back then, besides working for the railroad, for men and women to work at in Roanoke?
Well, you had the old silk mill. You had the city. Shucks, gun. It was, boy, you take railroad, the old silk mill, the Roanoke City, the waterworks, worked for the, then they used to have a place down there where they made their own gas here in Roanoke. You could work down the old gas company down in the Northeast. But, and you, like I said, work downtown or whatever, or
mm-hmm.
work in people's kitchens. Or, but I went to, I went to the railroad in 51. So that was, as far as, once you go to work, you ain't worried about what somebody else is doing, you know what I'm talking
mm-hmm.
about. And my daddy, he worked for the railroad. He went down in the 20s. Just about most of my family worked for the railroad. My uncles, in-laws, and outlaws, we all worked for the railroad. And once, you know, things was here in Roanoke, mm-hmm. if you work for the railroad, anytime you go downtown, ask for anything, all you had to do is say, I work for the railroad, get what you want. That way it was back in those days. Still is, you know. But, that about, and then the old paddle plant, forgot about that during World War II when they opened that up.
Where was that at?
Up in Rapid.
Oh, okay.
Back at during World War II, you either worked or you went in service. There wasn't no such thing as loafing back in those days.
Mm-hmm.
After World War II stuff. I remember when Japan bombed Pearl Harbor. I was a little boy, 11 years old, and Sunday, I'll never forget it. Didn't even know nothing about no Japan. But, you know, you had the Japanese toys and all that stuff, you know, back
right.
in those days. Because everything was made in Japan as far as toys is concerned. So that's all we knew about Japan and the different places and the countries. But we did know about, you know, the Russians fighting the Germans down there. But Roosevelt and them, you know, you didn't pell it too much in politics. Because it didn't make you no different. Not till Japan bombed Pearl Harbor, what brought us into the war. But as far as that, I know it's a cruel thing to say, but it brought this country to moving. This country was at a standstill, you know,
mm-hmm.
before then.
Right.
But after that, it began to look like getting ready to get back into it, unless one of these presidents put that law back on the book that Roosevelt had on the book. If you make so much money, they'll take it or put somebody to work. That law has got to go back on the book again.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of folks, like I said, you don't even know about the law. You was right around when he took it off. See? He's right on off the book.
Never known any different, I guess.
They know no different. But you see the difference in the way things are moving here now
mm-hmm.
and the things that are going on in this world, in this country. It got to be put back on that book. Other what you said, the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. I can remember back there when you go to the store, 5 cents, 10 cents, you can get a gallon of kerosene. I remember when gas was 10-12 cents a gallon. You couldn't put $5 worth of gas in, you couldn't get $5 worth of gas in your car. I remember when the railroad Northwestern went to diesel. You know how much diesel oil was a gallon?
How much?
7 cents a gallon.
And that was probably, what year
was
that?
That's in 1956 and 57. Diesel, mm-hmm. 7 cents a gallon. Because before then, we had steam. And when they had their own coal and all. That's back there when you hit Race Hall Smith.
So did none of the trains were steam anymore after then?
No. No, well, it took time for them to get the diesels in here then.
Mm-hmm.
But by 1958 and 59, they just about had gone dieselized. And when it hit 60, steam was gone when Race Hall Smith died. And then what you call, Diesel Sawness took over for the president of the railroad then, and there was diesels all the way then. I used to remember the time you had so many men out there on the railroad, men helping men. But when it went diesel, thousands of thousands of people got cut off right here. It's, those were the days, though.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything else that we didn't cover that you would like to talk about?
Well, but all I can know about COVID,
that's great.
About the different, you know, how things have changed up here in Southwest,
mm-hmm.
The different business and all. But a lot of folks don't know it. But Kroger store started out up here in Southwest, a little store up here, where
you said on Salem Avenue.
Yeah, right there where Libby at.
What cross street is it?
Right here on Salem Avenue and Torres Creek.
Oh, okay.
That's where the first Kroger store was at.
Really? So was it just a little corner market? Or
little
was
old
it a
corner store. Then they moved from there down Passon Avenue, where the store is down now. Down on 13th Street.
Mm-hmm.
That's the second store. Nickel Max was right here on 13th Street. Those were big stores as far as supermarkets concerned. Then they had the A&P downtown and, you know, little stores. But as far as grocery stores, those were the grocery stores.
Was the farmer's market a lot different back then?
We had a farmer's market right here in Southwest.
Okay.
Right there, but now on Salem Avenue and 12th Street, used to be like it was downtown, the farmer's market, before they put in his buildings and all that. It was on both sides. And the old Gosh brother Derby, he used to have a store right here on 12th Street and Salem Avenue, well, back in them days.
Did people grow their own vegetables and sell it at the farmer's market, or did they import?
Well, most of them come from, the farmers bought their groceries in, but a lot of people had their own little garden, you know. Mm-hmm. But far as, stuff was so cheap back in those days. Man, you go down, if you had $5, you couldn't bring the groceries home. You could, $5, you had to get your cab, bring home cost a quarter. Mm-hmm. It cost you a quarter, shucks. You 50 cents was money back in those days.
I bet.
Yes. Dollar was a dollar.
Nowadays, a dollar won't buy you anything.
Won't buy you anything. You could buy more with 10 cents back in those days than you can with a dollar now. Matter of fact, you can't buy nothing with a dollar. Can you?
Maybe a hamburger, a bottle of water.
A bottle of water. I never thought, figured nothing, never. As long as I live, I never thought it'd be bottling water. There used to be a time here in Roanoke that had springs all over Roanoke. Everywhere you went, used to be springs. The man covered them all up. That's coming back to haunt you.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people had springs in the backyards. wells and all. What you got now? I never dreamt that you'd be selling water in a bottle, not during my days. I remember when sodas you could get, Coca-Cola used to be six for a quarter. Used to have a little 5 cents, you know, in the rack, cost 5 cents. Cigarettes back in them days, I think it was 10 cents a pack. Dozen of eggs, 10 or 15 cents for a dozen of eggs. Like I said, you couldn't bring the food back home for a dollar, man. You buy so much food, it wasn't even funny. I could go downtown to A.R. Minton's, get steaks. Big bag of steak like that. Steaks, $2. One of the taxes. Boy, I'm telling you, things have changed. Now, here's a man was up on my porch the other day. Box of steaks, wanted $300-something. I just looked at it. I could have bought all them steaks back in my days for $3. For $3. But things change.
Well, that's all the questions I have. Thanks a lot,
all right,
Mr. Easley.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
All right.
Nice meeting you.
Pleasure to meet you.
Yeah.